Hey, guess what, guys? This is episode 40. This is the Cooler Chronicles podcast. Dang, yes, I said it right. Cooler Chronicles podcast.
On the first try.
On the first recorded try. And to celebrate with me is the guy that was on the first podcast that we recorded at his apartment on a laptop. On his little table there in his kind of kitchen. What was that? Is that like your living room kind of kitchen? Or is it like your living room?
I would say it's a living room, dining room, spillover. I don't know.
Something like that. So there we were, leaning close together, drinking a beer, talking about UTSA sports. And that's kind of what we're going to do now, although we're not in the same room at the moment. I am in my apartment over here in lovely downtown San Antonio. And Jared, are you still in the same apartment? You moved?
No.
You moved?
Actually, I've moved from a different apartment since then. Moved to another new one.
Yo.
So I've been all over the place, man.
So you can call him the Nomad. That's what he is. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? There's not a whole lot to talk about. Not a whole lot of obvious things. You know, like it's not like football season's over. Like college football season total is over. The basketball team is kind of terrible. So all we can kind of do is complain, like, oh man, they lost again, which isn't bad. So let's get to talking. Jared, good to have you on the show again.
Thanks.
Yeah, you were not here last week, right?
No.
Yeah,
bad timing.
Yeah. So what you been up to, man?
You ready for school? Not much. Just enjoying my winter break bum lifestyle. You know, gotta have it.
I'm kind of jealous of you, dude. I got to live that for like a week and a half. I took a vacation through Christmas, and I did it the smart way, I think. Like, it's probably the most relaxing I've ever had it, where I didn't visit anybody, like, out of town. Like, I visited, like, you know, in-town family members for like 30 minutes. And once it got tiring, I'm like, you know what? I got to go. And I left, and it was awesome. So I didn't have that, like, burnout where you're like, oh, geez, Grandma. You know, nice to see you, but geez. Kind of tired of looking at you already. Anyway, so you're still bumming it? You're still chilling?
Nah, I mean, I'm back at work now, so I'm only, like, halfway chilling, I guess, until school starts next week.
Yeah. So, what do you got, dude? Recruiting front. Let's talk about some UTSA stuff, I guess.
I guess we're mostly going to talk basketball for this one. You know, man, there's not too much going on, really.
But, yeah, like, they've been losing. Like, we went to that little...
been awful.
Yeah, and it's not even like they're, like, close losses. Like, what was that, last year when they played Oklahoma State and it was, like, overtime and whatever. Like, these losses have just been like, oh, here's UTSA getting blown out again. Let's see if they can maybe cut it to 30. Why is that? You've been following them a lot closer than I have.
Man, I don't know. I think it's a combination of intangibles and size, because when you look at this team match up against a WAC team, the first thing that's going to pop out at you is how much smaller the team is. Not just down low underneath the rim, but out on the wing too. I mean, Mike Hill is probably like 5'8", maybe. I mean, he's a little tiny dude, probably one of the smallest D1 basketball players. And then, you know, Cannon's like 6 foot. So he's got a nice vert, but he's still getting, you know, he's getting shut down out there with size a lot more than he has been the last year. And then, man, when you just watch the team, they just don't look pissed off to be losing. They look pretty complacent with where they're at.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing. Like, I know some people were saying, like, maybe we don't stick with Brooks Thompson.
Like, we can get to that later on. I think that'll be a nice little segment, I guess.
He's been the coach since 2006, by the way. You know, 6 years, one place. I don't know, like, so far, how do you rank his tenure? I know you said we'll get into it later, but I kind of already started talking about it.
All right, well, out of 10, is that what I'm working with here?
Yeah, we'll go with 10.
Out of a 10, I'd probably give him a 7 or an 8.
7 or 8, that's not bad.
Considering where the program was at when he came in, I mean, it's really hard to knock him whenever you look at the resources that, or the lack of resources that he has, and then just how god-awful. I mean, he came in with 3 years of APR restrictions where he couldn't offer a full scholarship class, and then, you know, right after that, took us to the NCAA tournament. And then 2 years later, went to another one. And for a school like UTSA, I mean, shit. I think that's pretty crazy.
It's not even like a school like UTSA as it is more like a basketball program that plays the convo, right?
Yeah.
Schaefer and I, and you're going to hear a little bit of Schaefer later on. Like, he recorded a segment, a little 3-4 minute segment. We're going to kind of put it towards the end because I didn't really know where to put it. Or maybe you've listened to it already. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out when I edit this thing. But a little background in case you're not paying attention. I know a lot of people out there say, I want to go and I want to pay attention to the basketball team. But they don't know, like, at least the record. So let's give them some facts. I'm looking at bbstate.com. It's kind of my preferred stat pay site of choice. My preferred of choice. That's a little redundant. It's similar to Ken Palm, kind of same thing. You get advanced stats and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, per their rankings, we're ranked 283. And it has our RPI at 262, strength of schedule 257.
Say it again. I got to call bullshit on that one. 257 strength of schedule?
That's what it says. That's what they have us at, man. You want to argue with them, you can.
Oh, hey, what's the site called? Let me find it real quick.
BB State. Let me give you a...
You can Skype me the link.
Yeah. Technology. All right, boom. There it is. It should show it to you. I don't know. You get like,
I got it.
I don't know how, you have to pay for the site. It's like $20 a year or something like that. By the way, UTSA grad 1988 says, it pisses me off they list Cannon Bridge at 6'3". That's some bullshit. That it is, man. That it is. But that's kind of what they always do. Like, when I played high school basketball way back when, nice and forgettable, like, you know, the coach is like, how tall are you? You're the 6 foot? You're 6'1 now. And you're 6'3"? Yeah, you're 6'5".
Right.
You know? And they beefed up everybody's weights. It's kind of what you do. Anyway, so, yeah, we're 4-10, own 4 in the conference, in the WAC conference, by the way. Let's take a look at the schedule. They're 0-4 on a 4-game losing streak, obviously, in the conference. Utah State, they lost there. San Jose State, at New Mexico State, at Denver. Denver's a tough place to play. Because, like, you know, once I saw them, like, losing right away, I knew that was going to be tough. North Texas, whenever Denver was in the Sun Belt, whenever we had to go on the road there, oh, my God. Like, it's that weird adjustment thing that you hear so often in sports about, like you see it when the Spurs play, like, the Nuggets and whatever. You have that same thing, but it's college kids, and there's only it's a shorter time, so you don't have a lot of time to adjust, and it's ridiculous. They have a crazy home court advantage. Anyway,
of basketball that Denver plays is a pretty bad matchup for UTSA, too. Because, like, they're a really, really quick ball movement team, and, like, they don't have any big guys on Denver, so they kind of do, like, a 5-man rotation deal where, like, everyone plays every position, which is a pretty cool, unique thing to watch. But
it's like that's pure a bad matchup
for UTSA because, obviously, they don't have guys that are, like, cross-trained in different positions very much because they have so many smaller dudes and not smaller in the sense that they're small for the big positions, but they're small for all positions, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Cannon can't go out and play at a 3. You know, he's just not tall enough. And Hale can barely play at a 2. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, Mike Hale is undersized, and you don't really have anybody else to make up for it. And, like, yeah, Cannon Burge is not... because he's kind of big. It's just that he's wide. He's not really... He doesn't play very physically, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He doesn't, like, go in there and bang. He doesn't try to attack the basket real hard. He kind of likes to shoot the ball. Pull up, drive in, pull up and shoot. He's like a stronger Melvin Johnson in that respect. But Melvin Johnson was a twig. Anyway, Texas Arlington on Thursday night, 7 p.m. I know I called them Texas Arlington. That's UTA. They're 1-2 in a conference. What do you think about that game?
I think it's a winnable game for us. I think it's kind of a make or break. Like, if we lose this game, then we're going to be like a 10 seed for the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, to go 0-5, the team is going to have zero confidence. But if we win this, maybe they'll be able to right the ship a little bit and get out there and beat, you know, maybe pick up one at La Tech or something like that and beat Texas State and, you know, see if they can get a 7 or an 8 seed.
Last two times, we played UTA, was it in March? March 3rd? We beat them 97-88.
Undefeated.
Yeah. And then they beat us barely at UTA. It was like
67. Yeah, that was the opening of their the new arena, yeah. Which we probably should have won the game.
Yeah. So it's a deal, man. We come in averaging 64 points a game and allowing 72 points a game. That 2-3 zone really isn't doing much this season. It wasn't doing much last season.
They haven't been playing as much zone this year as they have in the past year. For better or worse, I guess.
Somebody called Denver's to play cracker basketball. All right.
Yeah. I mean.
We are non-PC on this podcast. anyway, so like I don't know, like I'm not nearly as excited or hopeful about this iteration of the Roadrunners going into Arlington or, you know, playing Arlington. I don't know. Anyway, they're 6-6, 1-2, like I said. They have them listed at 190 RPI and 199 in the basketball state rankings. They've also lost their last three, if you care about that. So who's going? Are you going to this game?
Yeah, I'll be there. Oh, it's also on TV, if you can't make it out. And it's actually on TV in Dallas as well. On Time Warner. Oh,
fancy. So there you go. You got like all, for all the Roadrunners spread out across the state. Well, at least in two places. What TV channel here?
It's like Time Warner 558 or some shit like that.
Oh, that weird channel? It's
like you'll have to refer to goutsa.com to get the right number.
All right. Once we find that out, let me write
that
down.
It's like the Texas sports channel or something like that. I don't know.
That weird one. The channels that you forget you have when you're watching late at night and you're going through all the channels. You're like, hey, what is this? What is Our Town? Why is this little girl singing Selena again? So we have that over there. Let me write that down. Do a little El Condo post on there. You haven't written like much about basketball, dude. Like, actually, like, none of us.
Right.
What's the word? Like,
And I think a big reason is that they haven't had any home games. So we've barely gotten to see the team play this year.
Yeah, they had that one. They had two, right? The Utah State one and the San Jose State one.
Yeah,
and then the Corpus one was like relatively close. Go ahead. What?
You cut out a little bit. I couldn't hear you.
No, I was just saying like they've had relatively close, relatively recently. But yeah, you're right. Been on the road and way far away, and then they've been losing terribly.
Yeah.
All right.
So. That's a thing.
So we're all sad. But Saturday they play Louisiana Tech. That's also here. And then Saturday, the next one. I think, is that when we decided we're going to do like a, hey, let's all go to the game? The Texas State one?
I think so. I'm not sure.
All right. That one's at 6 p.m. at the Convocation Center. So if you are like wondering, like you're thinking about, you've been wanting to support the basketball team, but you don't know when or where to go, plan on that one. Circle that date. It's at 6 p.m. on Saturday, the 19th of January, and you'll get to see yours truly, Adam. You get to see Jared. You get to see Schaefer and Mrs. Schaefer, and she'll probably make a shirt or something with her Calcutta machine. I don't know. Still don't know what that was. So come out, hang out. I don't know. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of like basketball game tailgating. Do you do that? Like the game is so short that it like you barely have time to set anything up to.
No, I mean sometimes I'll go get a drink before the game or something like that.
There you go. That's what you do. No, and then after the game, you go somewhere and go get a drink. And maybe we'll do that. We'll do that all together as a family. You know?
Oh, yeah. How cute.
Yeah, I feel special already. So also the thing we're gonna do. I've been thinking about doing this. And I've been kind of asking people around, like, hey, do you like whispering in the ear and stuff? I asked you to. Flag football. I want to get, like, a little flag football game together with, like, the community, I guess, whatever community we have left that isn't between, like, and the other one. Oh, now I'm cutting off to myself. So if you're down to do that, if you want to do that, I'm going to put a sign-up form up there. So that we can let us know that, yeah, I'm down, and yes, I can play. We're going to try to pick a date that's not too crazy, and we'll all get together and play some flag football and have a bunch of beers. And I don't know, like, well, we probably should do it co-ed, but I feel like we're not going to get enough girls to do this co-ed because this is an internet-centric thing, and girls think we're nerdy.
Also, we're sexist and we hate women, so you can go ahead and run with that.
Well, you know, I didn't want to be associated with that. Again, that's Jared Kalmus, and he is over there. That is not me saying that. I love the women. We're going to do that. So tweet us, let us know, email us right now. Say, yeah, I want to be down. Like, you know, I'm in. I'm totally in. We got a couple people said that they're in. Even the Gonzo guys, Gonzo and SA, who were on the show last week, shout out to them. They got their little Monday night show. And I tweeted out their promo, not their porno. And so they said they're down. They want to play. So if you want to, like, I don't know, score touchdowns on them and score touchdowns on Jared, you can. You down? You want to do basketball, right? That's what you're excited about?
Yeah. Like, well, I think we should do football first, and if it's successful, then we can do basketball.
That's my thinking, too.
Yeah. Because I feel like we'd have a better turnout for football.
Yeah, maybe. That's the thing, man. Like, everybody loves football. That's the cool thing about football, too, is that there's, like, a position that everybody can play. They're like, I can't really throw, but I can catch. Right. Or I can block. Or I can run something a little like bit. That. Yeah, basketball, it's a little bit more demanding. You're like, I got to run and cut and defend and pass and shoot. And it's harder to just stand around and drink beer in basketball. You need both hands. You get a chance to listen to the Whack Jack show, the as yet untitled show.
Yes, I listened to the one from, was it yesterday?
Yeah, that one. He's probably going to ask you on there soon. I'm just letting you know. So you can't ignore it and be like, oh, wait, what? There's a show.
Okay. Well, I mean, as long as he lets me know.
A little bit. I think pretty much if you're listening to this show right now, live, we got a few people listening, he's probably going to ask you on. Seems like he's doing that. But that's him. It's Jack's show. It's not my show. I'm just there to help him make it happen.
It was pretty funny that he asked Schaefer to be on it when Schaefer was pretty much begging us the other night to, like, not have him on a podcast anymore.
Yeah, like, Schaefer was like, you know, it's hard and blah, 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 and I'm an adult and you're dumb, Adam. These are all quotes. He said this.
Yeah, that's a direct quote.
That's what he wants to kind of do, like a segment, like a little bit. Like, he wants to be like Andy Rooney. Like, you know, the thing is about sports. And, you know, so he's going to do that. You're going to hear him later. He has a whole bit. It's funny. So that's going to happen. Check out Jack's show. It's, I don't know. I guess it's going to be Tuesdays. I don't know. We have to figure that out, too. But it's going to be weekly.
He's got such a sweet radio voice, man. Like, really needs to get put to use, whether it's the Zimu. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's what he called it. I don't know. Whether it's something
more local. You know, come on, man. This guy's got some talent. Let's get him on.
I was making fun of him, like good naturedly. I know, like, Rowdy Talk was like giving him a hard time. He kind of does have birdcage voice.
I've never heard that term before. So I was a little bit confused when you guys.
This means, like, it kind of sounded a little gay as all. I know. Like, you know, like the thing about that, you go and, but I don't know. I'm just giving him a hard time.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of people talk like that. Don't hate me. Anyway, what was I saying? So the basketball team's not good. The football team. What do you like? Do you have a stance on all this realignment stuff? Do you care anymore? I still like barely.
I
care.
I want to be with the Texas teams. You know, that's pretty much how I feel. I think with the way the playoffs are set up, that, you know, if you deserve to be in a BCS playoff game, that you're going to get there.
Like, there's a mechanism to get you in if you deserve it. You mean?
Like, I'm saying that if we have an undefeated season with two ranked wins, I don't think it matters what conference that we're in, whether that be the Sun Belt or the Mountain West. So I don't feel a realignment is as urgent as I felt it was, mm-hmm. you know, at this time last year.
Yeah.
So I just want to be with, like, pure institutions, Texas teams.
That sounds about right.
I'm sure a lot of people agree with me on that.
Yeah, like, I really don't care what happens to Texas State or Arkansas State, et cetera, et cetera. As long as we get some good in-state rivalry games, like I've been saying, it's like the only thing I've been saying. You could probably play that first episode where I talked about this, and I'm going to be saying the same thing. What did you think of Notre Dame getting pasted? That was a waste.
Oh, man, I was pretty surprised. I thought it would be a close, nice defensive struggle.
Yeah, you seemed
like... And then Monte Teo just came out, and he looked awful. I mean, It blew my mind. Like, whether or not he's a Heisman-worthy player or not. I mean, he looked like shit. He didn't even look like a starter.
You seemed so pissed about it. Like, just, you're like, what the shit?
Get well, yeah, I mean, there. There's a lot of money on the table. It's a big stage for college football. And yeah. For it to look like that, it's pretty pretty upsetting.
What's his name on the Jeff Sheen on the show? He's not very good. I don't like him. Not a big fan. But he did get something right. I did happen to catch him say that this matchup was going to be pretty terrible, and he wasn't excited about Notre Dame, that they were going to get pasted. And he was right. I was kind of holding that hope that Notre Dame was a little bit better than they seemed, and maybe Brian Kelly was, I don't know, like, I don't want to say that he was Nick Saban's equal, but maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he has like a trick or two up his sleeve, but he didn't. And they got pasted, and he just looked like he didn't know what he was talking about. You know, he was standing out there just getting red faced, looking like, "Wow, oh, I'll go for it on fourth down. That'll solve the problem." And it didn't. They just got totally waxed. So, shout out to Alabama, man. That was
they were so good.
Yeah, and you know, like, I don't. Do you buy this whole like SEC? Do you buy
that? No, not at all.
Yeah, I think some of it is like. Notre Dame hasn't seen a team like Alabama yet. Like, they didn't play like LSU. They didn't play any of these kind of teams. Lots of teams, when they go up against, I don't know, like a certain style, they kind of get taken aback. You know, yeah. Like the first time we saw this. Like, but Alabama plays spread teams like throughout the year. So they were ready for that vanilla spread offense that Notre Dame was running. And, you know, that defense that they had wasn't nothing. So there you go. They ate them up.
Mm-hmm.
It tore them up. 500 yards, 42 touchdowns, and they got a girl on, 42,000 followers.
God.
Dude, what'd you think of that stuff?
I thought the whole thing was kind of creepy, didn't you?
It was a lot.
It was really thirsty.
It was a lot thirsty. First, did you see Conan O'Brien had a bit where he had, like, you know, fake Brent Musburger come in and apologize to everybody. He's like, I'm sorry.
I didn't see that.
And then he goes like, well, let me take a look through your crowd right there. And then, yeah, they were just doing that. He was hitting on all the girls. Like, wow, save some blood for my head. Yeah. I'm talking about my erection, Conan. It was funny. Go see that. It's out there. Yeah, dude. The other thing, not only was What's-Her-Face getting like all a bunch of fans, but then like AJ McCarron, like the next day, was like jumped into Defender.
Darnell Dockett's thing. I thought it was really funny.
He kept calling her our girl, right? Yeah, that's messed up, dude. What does Bomani Jones call that? Dirty Mackin'. It is a little bit Dirty Mackin'. Yeah. But, dude, I don't know, man. Like,
Darnell Dockett's a clown.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's going to play it up, especially if you're jumping out there and saying something. Yeah. If she would have just said, like, no, I'm good, I got AJ, then it would have been squashed and it would have been done. But I think she just kind of wants attention. I mean, she was Miss Alabama, right? So, congrats to Alabama, you know.
And I heard she was on the Today Show or some shit like that this morning. So, she's out here like getting money, you know.
Every show. Everything imaginable. Stupid. Gina makes fun of me for laughing at or even knowing any of the details of this. She says it's my Desperate Housewives. I say it's sports related. And I think it's funny. Because it's like blowing up like Twitter feed the next day. It was like, oh my God, AJ McCarron's girlfriend. Look what Darnell Dockett said. Look what AJ McCarron said. Etc. etc.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with Jano on that one.
You know what? Go fuck yourself, Jared. I don't know. It was a weird bowl season. What was your takeaway? Do you feel like next season? Do you see UTSA going bowling?
Yeah. I think. I mean, I'm still not sure what the fucking stipulations are for us to get in eligibly or whatever. But
yeah.
I think we'll definitely be one of the better teams. Conference USA. So,
right, Timo, what does that mean? One of the
not
better
because
teams.
I think UTSA is like some mid-major powerhouse or anything, but yeah. More because Conference USA is really down right now.
Yeah, especially Southern Miss. If you have Southern Miss,
yeah, that still blows my mind. I want someone to write a book about how they got so bad so quick.
Yeah, again, I mentioned this on another podcast, but go read that Deadspin piece about what happened to Southern Miss. That was ridiculous. Yeah, so Ryan Polite's out. That was another thing that happened.
Yeah, and that's something that I had known for a while, but I don't want to, like, put it out in the public because you know, he might have changed his mind, decide to stay, and it'd be the awkward, like, oh, cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad for him because there wasn't much playing time for him to be had, and I think he's too good to just sit on the bench. So
where's he going, you think?
He's going to Trinity Valley Community College, which is where Tucker Carter came out of.
They just traded places, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
What was did Polite have a year like to sit? Does he?
Oh, since he's going to JUCO, he doesn't have to sit out.
No, I'm saying, but like, does he have like? Is he did he redshirt a year?
Yes, he redshirted last year.
Nah, well then that sucks. That makes sense. I'd do that too if you know, if those are my choice. Like, don't play, basically waste a year sitting down for no good reason, and hopefully you get in a year from now. You never know what's going to happen there. So, yeah, go play junior college. Might do some things. Hold on. So, I had to clear my throat. What else happened? What else happened in the world of UTSA? Are you doing this round two, this NCAA covered vote?
Like, no, basically that's so lame. That's just like whenever Allstate had like the vote for your team's coach to be coach of the year or whatever. And Sam Houston State actually won the voting contest. And then, of course, I think they gave it to, like, I don't know, Clemson's coach or some shit like that.
Like the second place coach that was also
a big name school. Happened to be from a top five conference. So, nah, yeah. Stay away from that shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, North Texas doesn't really get... Basically, if you're not, like, one of these schools that have, like, legions, like, millions of fans, like, a lot of T-shirt fans, like, Texas and even A&M to some extent, but, like, Notre Dame and Michigan and USC or some of the southern teams, you ain't really going to win those things. So you don't really worry about it. All right, we're 26 minutes in. What else we got to talk about?
Oh, man.
I knew you were taking calls. You were taking requests. You were taking requests.
Oh, yeah. They were just like, hey, you should really bitch a lot about basketball.
You got any more bitching in you?
Oh, man.
It sounds like you're straining
I just feel like people putting the blame on Brooks Thompson are kind of annoying, ignoring the issue that UTSA has an awful basketball program that has never once been good. We might have snuck into the NCAA tournament a couple times. But we've never had like this great years in a row we had a really good team.
I think that's a good point. It's a great point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think having seen the last 20 years off and on of UTSA basketball, I think you're right. Like, I don't know if this team could build a program because I think Brooks Thompson's a decent enough coach, but you know, obviously he doesn't get in the kind of talent that you need. And it's not that San Antonio doesn't have enough basketball talent, because there are a lot of tiny schools that get good enough talent, coach them up, and do some things. It really is their facilities. I mean, it's not a great place to play. Didn't you say that Utah State was talking mess? Like, because of, like, the lights were going out, or the scoreboard or something. Some of you guys are
Like that.
Javi says, when do we get a new condo? We basically talked about this like 150 times.
We get a new convo. No time soon is the answer.
Yeah, we're going to get a new convo once everybody raises enough money for practice facilities and like basically football stuff. Once all that gets built up, then they'll start working on a new convo. Maybe. Because they might do others more football
stuff. Probably not.
Yeah. Like Schaefer said, you really just got to sit back and take it and accept that this is not going to be that great. I don't want to steal some of his thunder, but yeah, Schaefer has some ideas also. Sorry, I'm over here drinking water. I'm sick, guys. I sound sick, don't I?
I didn't really tell.
No, you always sound that bad, Adam. yeah, all right. What else we got? Where's the best place to get tacos, dude? We were having this conversation on Twitter with a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Best place to get tacos.
So yeah, I'm nervous to answer because I know Mark is going to come and get in my ass if I don't give best recommendation ever.
Whatever.
you know, because he's eating at every taqueria in San Antonio.
Where does Jared get tacos? Like, say your aunt comes in, right? Your aunt comes in from Chicago. I don't know if you have an aunt in Chicago, but let's pretend, right? Her name's Mildred. She's like, you know, Jerry. She calls you Jerry. She's like, where can I get a good taco? I've been hearing a lot about tacos down here. I've had a Taco Bell Dorito monster thing. I want a real Mexican taco given to me by a Mexican with brown skin and everything. The whole deal. Make it happen, Jared. Where are you going to take her?
Well, actually, my favorite tacos and burritos come from the local taco truck that parks like literally right behind my apartment. So, you know, I can walk over there and pick it up, which is great.
All right.
But, now, I mean, I've taken people from all over the place to this taco truck, and they all have nothing but amazing things to say about it.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. And it's actually, the truck is run by El Gallito, which is like a restaurant on Wurzbach over there.
Yeah.
So they park in like a...
So what do you get when you go there? What's your, like, every time I go there, I gotta get a what?
Yeah, I just get a chicken burrito and then add rice and beans to it. And it's pretty damn good size. And I think it's like, what, $3.50 for it?
Yeah, tacos are cheap. If you buy an expensive taco, you're kind of doing it wrong. You can get good-ass ones, a lot of good-ass ones for relatively cheap. All right, so you get, you said chicken burrito, rice and beans on it, right?
Yeah.
What, you put any, like, salsa on that or anything?
Yeah, they have like a green tomatilla sauce, I think it's called. So I throw that shit on there.
Sweet.
Yeah, what about you?
No, I thought for a second Mark was complaining about you, but he said, I know I bitched about this before, but a 7-digit extension is bullshit. That's not a phone. That's a phone number, not an extension.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Have you had it like an extension for somebody that's 7 digits?
That's weird. Well, I've seen it before where people will have their quote-unquote extension listed, but in reality, it's just like their phone number, and they're just trying to look really like corporate and cool.
I've not seen that. Oh, wait, time out. Mark says he approves. El Gallito is great.
Mark and Warner.
I don't know if I, you know what, like I've been saying all this stuff. I don't know if I have like a place that I go get tacos from. I'm not really that kind of guy. I like to try a lot of different places. I think Taco Haven has a good one. Taco House. Not Taco Haven. Taco House is what I meant. Taco. We finally made it in there. There's always a waiting, like, there's always, like, a huge line outside of it. So when we had time during that break, we went out there, had some. It was good. It was surprisingly good. I had pork chops that day, too.
I've got a couple places around the UTSA area that I go for tacos. Like, Data Point, of course, is the big one that everyone talks about. Big fan of that place. And there's a Taqueria El Rodeo, which is behind the HEB on Wurzbach, which is like, it's kind of shady. It's like in this, it's like a little shopping center, I guess. And I think this place used to be a Hobby Lobby or something.
Yeah.
And they just like turned it into a taqueria. And there's like this like crazy weird antique mall across the parking lot. So it's a weird scene over there. But like, they got some pretty good stuff over there. And there's a new place called Rico's that is like, and that Bob Babcock shopping center right by campus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a former Mexican restaurant that sucked. And I guess they got bought out and the new one's pretty good. So you should check that out.
Like, you know, you brought that up that X used to be whatever and now it is a taqueria or something like that. How many things are now taquerias? Taquerias. I'm so white now.
I don't know.
I've seen like a old what is it, like a gas station. I've seen like a, you know, like a just any old store like in a strip mall. I've seen like malls basically turn into one. You see everything, dude. Like an old truck, obviously. Wait, hold on. Mark says El Rodeo we used to call Cafe 45 because of their health department inspection score. Like, how did you know it? Like, how did you get that close? And you're like, oh, this says a 45. Oh, well, I guess. I'll just eat the roach, add some extra flavor to it. Hold on.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about us San Antonians is that we're damn resourceful. I mean, like, homeboy might have, like, some scrap metal in his backyard, and he just finds a way to turn it into a taco shed. And he just starts selling tacos to the neighborhood.
That's not terrible though. Like I was browsing around in a bookstore and I found something about like the history of Mexican food. So I picked it up, being Mexican and whatnot, and loving some stories about my peoples. Anyway, so I looked at it, and like it was talking about like the Chile Queens of San Antonio, like in the 1900s, and like the taco stands there, and how they used to stand out there like at Market Square or Military Square and sell tacos, and how it was like so influential. So yeah, and they had some pictures there, little, you know, rickety stands, some guy just with a cart and a donkey, yeah, standing out there selling you tacos. That's it, man. Hold on, time out. He says, you're lucky that you had Tex-Mex. Mexican food out here is for shit. All of it sucks. I'd kill for Taco Cabana. That's about right. When I was in Denton, which has decent enough Mexican food in some spots, I ate Taco Cabana. I was like, oh, I love me some Taco Cabana. But then I come down here, even though Taco Cabana hails from San Antonio, it actually started out as like a little taco spot across from a club in the 80s. That's what I hear. My mom tells me this story. And yeah, and anyway, so like, it's still not that great. You go like, yeah, this is not as good as Taqueria number 3 over here. Anyway, let me see what else Mark says. And I once went in there and saw a busboy's bucket of dishes in there. I haven't eaten there in a while.
we're talking about the bathroom at El Rodeo.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. One time, speaking of like terrible places to eat, there was like this really like popular pizza place in Denton. You know, like there are like 100,000 pizza places around the college campus because, you know, obviously. Anyway, so we went, finally tried it out. And so dude's making us some pizza in the back. And we're like the only ones in there. And he's like making it and trying to be a cool guy and flipping it. But like he was like violating like 7 rules of like, you know, handling food. Like he was like wiping his hair out of his face and messing with the thing, changing the radio with like his bare hands. I was like, I don't know if I want that pizza.
Oh, man.
So that was kind of gross. Anyway.
So good. Randomly, to get back to basketball again real quick, yeah. If you had to guess right now, who do you think has the highest field goal percentage on the team?
I'd say Mike Hale.
You'd be wrong. Larry Wilkins, 54%.
That's about it. That was going to be like off the wall.
I think that's kind of off the wall.
Give me another one.
All right. The best assist to turnover ratio.
I'd say Jeremy Hill.
Jordan Sims.
No. All right, I'm terrible. I want to do one. I want to do quiz.
All right, quizzes. I'll look away. Quiz me one.
I don't know. Like, my internet's being weird right now.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit here and there.
Okay. Sorry. You know what's stupid? That this basketball state thing that I use, it lists UTSA as Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, sucks. It's gonna take years to get over that, though.
It's gonna take a lot of years. This guy's in LA. You're in LA and you can't have get good Mexican food. Well, you get that like by the sea kind of Mexican food where like they put shrimp and fish and everything.
Shrimp in it.
That's weird. Okay, ready? Best effective field goal shooting percentage. Oh my God.
Say it again.
Best effective field goal shooting percentage. That's of course field goal.
Yeah, I know. Statistically inclined listeners. Yeah. That's like 2-point shots have a certain value, and then 3-point shots have a certain value, and they put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, if you make more threes without missing, then that's more valuable than making twos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him, the guy.
I don't know, because Cannon misses a lot of shots, so I don't want to say it's him.
Okay. And
I'm gonna go with Hygie Thomas.
Mike Hale the third.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if Hygie's pretty high up there, though.
You know what? I don't have a list. I just have like best of. Let me look it up. Statistical profile, team performance. I'm looking it up. This is what you do. The team's not good, so you just look at stats. You're like,
how bad are we really? Also, basically, I think it's worth pointing out that for basketball expenses, we are ranked 211 in the country.
211.
Yeah. And for recruiting expenses, we're 226. Yeah, so don't expect us to be good when the school is not giving us the money to be good.
Yeah, see, that reminds me of an argument I had with this guy from Houston. I swear, everybody from Houston, I'm looking at you, Jared, because you always claim Houston.
I'm not from Houston, though.
No, like, it's basically this one guy. He went to the University of Houston, and he's a Houston Texans fan. He's one of these guys that basically says, he was like, no, I wouldn't trade good quarterback that missed a playoff for Christian Ponder, because Christian Ponder led his team to the playoffs.
Oh, I hate that mentality.
I'm like, dude, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's dumb. He was like, why? Playoff wins, man. I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, I don't have any stats.
Count the rings.
Yes, like
count the rings.
I'm like, dude, at best, like, quarterback is hugely important. But I think if you had to put a percentage on it, I'd say at most 40% of the game is a quarterback. Then, like, the other half is the defense.
Yeah.
And then you got, like, the running game, the offensive line, you know, like, yeah. They're weighted differently based on, like, you know, how your offense runs through the quarterback. I'd say, like, a team like the 2005 Colts was, like, heavily weighted through Peyton Manning, so it was, like, all 40%. If you look at, like, the, like, a team that could win, like, those Ravens, speaking of famous teams, the Ravens that won in 2000, they were, like, mostly defense, and Trent Dilfer, you know, like, he didn't have to do much, but he was still important. You know, he's a quarterback out there. You couldn't stick, like, a Christian Ponder out there or, like, an Anthony Wright or any of the other scrubs that we ran out there for the Cowboys during that time. I don't know. Where do you put that? I think maybe there's more of that in, like, college or something. But pro football, would you agree with my assessment that, like, the quarterback is only 40% at most of the team's win?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think whenever someone gives you the line that, oh, well, X quarterback is good because he, you know, led his team to the playoffs, even though, you know, statistics say that he wasn't that good, that just tells me that, hey, I'm completely incapable of analyzing any sports information, so I'm just doing this shit that I heard on ESPN. That's yeah, all that it says to me.
Well, Skip Bayless told me.
Like last year when people were like, well, obviously Tebow's great because he led his team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He like, has a playoff win.
Yeah. Oh, wait, time out. Another question. Which UTSA basketball squad was the worst in the history of the program record-wise? I think that was, what, like the 1980 team or something like that?
Yeah, there was a team way back in the 80s that had, like, I think 5 wins or something like that. And then 2007, there were 7. But I think we had, like, 3 scholarships off the book that year.
Mm.
Let's see if we can pull up this graph here.
Okay.
I've got it back to 93 on here, which is the past 20 years. And I see a 4-win team. Oh, no, that's in conference, sorry. So that was 9 wins. Yeah, the worst in the past 20 years was the 06-07 squad. But I know there was one in the 80s that was even worse than that.
You're looking at the last 20 years, you said?
Yeah.
All right, let me look at it. Can't see that. Win-loss percentage. Yeah. The 06-07, that 7-1. But then there was, like, this one right here that there was, like, the 96-97 Southland Conference. Played in Southland Conference. Why am I saying that? They won 9 games, 9-17. A lot of terrible teams there. They're sprinkled about. I don't know, like I think what you do when you analyze UTSA over the last 20 years, I think the average number of wins is about, like, 17?
Yeah, 17 or 18.
My eyeball math is right. And that's it's like a middling team. It's a decent enough team for, like, the Southland. You know what I mean? Like, eh.
Well, I mean, another factor that people have completely forgot because our football team kicked ass in football in the WAC this year.
Yeah.
Is that WAC basketball compared to the Southland basketball that's a huge gap.
Yeah, dude.
Big gap. Like, how many D1 conferences are there in basketball?
Oh. Do you know? Dude, there's a ton. Yeah, like, I don't even know. If
there's, like, 20-something, yeah. And Southland is, like, next to last. Like, the SWAC is the only worst conference in the Southland.
And, those and are the WAC
is, like, top
that, yeah.
10. So you're talking about passing up, like, 10 or 12 conferences and toughness to get to the one that we're in now. And that's with a really tough out-of-conference schedule that had us on the road for, like, 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah, and everybody said, like, oh, going to the WAC is going to be a big step up, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to talk about, you know, or, you know, like, everybody, all these recruits are going to come in because they want to have this competition. But especially with some of these teams out there with nice arenas and things, they come over here and they're like, what? What's up? You know, like if you're going to stay and say you're going to stay in Texas and you want to go to system school and you look at UTEP, you look at UTA, you look at UTSA, and you see UTA's like really nice arena, and you think, man, I kind of like for my mom to come visit me and see me playing this, and you get like, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. That's a big thing. Everybody knows it. It's nothing new. But it's hard when you have to also, when you got to compete for those, that talent, at that talent level. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, it's not like you're competing against Corpus Christi anymore. Who's down there playing in that cold ass arena.
Although I got to hand it to them. They did have a pretty good amount of people when we went. When you
yeah.
say?
Yeah,
I
but
the crowd
see,
was surprisingly good.
What was up that night? What was up with that night though, dude? Like I was looking at the little sheet there and it was like tickets were like $40, but they were on sale for like $8. And like
I don't know.
Yeah, like the $10 tickets were on sale for like, you know, like $5 or whatever. I don't know. I was like, did we come on like, you know, half off night or something?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's not a bad place. I bet if you got more people in there, it'd warm up a little bit. True. It's not bad. Like, you know, if that was all I had in this world, I wouldn't complain. I'd definitely probably take it over El Convo. Is that? Would you take it over El Convo?
Absolutely.
Even it being real cold?
I would just wear a jacket.
All the time. In sweats. What'd you think? You didn't give your little recap of Corpus. Where'd y'all go? To the Whataburger?
Well, we just went to the big Whataburger after the game, which was a total disappointment, man.
Like, it was a Whataburger?
It was pretty trashy in there. Like the original Whataburger, Whataburger by the Bay or whatever they call it.
Oh. Well, go ahead. Go on. You went and what?
I don't know. There were like homeless people like walking throughout the store, not just like hanging out outside. Like a lot of them.
Like,
it was really weird.
Well, they're open 24 hours, right? Yeah.
There were actually a lot of A&M Corpus people in there. So we got to have like the nice like smug look on our face that, you know, we just beat the shit out of your school in basketball. And it's a two-story deal, so we thought, oh, that's well, we can say we're sitting upstairs at Whataburger,
fancy.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it took a really long time to get our food, and I felt like they were walking around for a long time looking at us.
Did they have,
they would
like,
come
the original
and look at our number
employees?
And then walk away, so I don't know, maybe we picked up the wrong numbers or something. So we were there for a long time. And then, like, these girls, they were sitting, like, on the outside part, but you could, like, see through the glass, you know? And they were like, they were totally checking out me and my friend. And I swear to God, these girls were not older than 16. So we're like, man, we got to get out of here. Like, this is going really bad.
Yeah.
So that's my story. Went to Corpus, got propositioned by underage girls, hung out with a bunch of homeless people.
We drove through like the main part of the city. They do have a good Wells Fargo ATM. It's like out in the open, it's kind of enclosed. So like you feel safe. It's convenient, but you feel kind of safe. Even though, you know, like it's like in the middle of the street downtown that's like all abandoned and you feel like you're going to die. There's that little, UTSA grad 1988 says everything about Corpus Christi is disappointing. I don't know about everything.
I hate
it's like
Corpus.
Most.
One of my ex-girlfriends thought Corpus was like one of the best places in Texas and it just blew my mind. It's awful.
Had
Can't
she never seen
it.
The ocean before or something? She's like, water. It's
yeah,
so beautiful.
I guess that's what it is. I'm like, well, what is there to do in Corpus besides the baseball?
Nothing.
And, you know, they have, like, a random, like, shitty rock band play there every once in a month.
I guess.
Oh, you can go to the aquarium, and you can go on that haunted ship. I'm like, I mean, that shit's cool if you're 12.
Yeah, it's cool if you, when you're 12 and you go down there to visit for the first time with your parents, they're like, oh, well, let's take you to Corpus. Right. And you go through, and you're like, oh, wow, that was amazing. You go back at any other time, you're super disappointed.
Yeah. Although, they did have the first oyster bar that I've ever seen in Texas, so I guess props for that.
I guess, yeah. We went to Blackbeard's. We saw like a little billboard there, and it was like, you know, Blackbeard's celebrating 20 years, 1992, you know? I was like, hey, all right, let's go celebrate with Blackbeard's, you know? They've been around for 20 years. They might not be terrible. You know, they have long jeopardy. That's an inside joke. So we went there, and it wasn't that great. It was cold, and they had, like, the fans on, blowing on us, so we're, like, freezing there, so, like, I was like, yeah, maybe I don't want a beer, because I don't want to die. No dogs weren't racing. They have dog races over there or something? What's going on? Somebody says, were the dogs racing on Twitter? don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know what he's talking about either. And maybe I missed out on a huge part of the Corvus experience.
Yeah, something like that. I did see a really cool building that looks abandoned. I was like, what's up with this one right here? It turns out that it's like a historical landmark. It's like their big courthouse that was built in like 1907 or something like that.
Yeah.
But like they don't even care about it. It's like if I went and in your corner was like this ratty old something, you're like, what is that? Oh, it's like, you know, family heirloom. It's over there, you know, we just don't even look at it. Kinda like that. You know? It's not like our Alamo, you know, that tourist trap. We at least take care of that. Anyway, so there you go. Corpus, may you drift off into the sea. I think that's what we're saying here.
And one thing that's talking about Corpus is they do have a nice, like, centralized downtown area, but I just felt like no one lived down there, you know?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, nice, here's some banks. People lived here. Yeah. You know what it is? Like, the economy is, like, basically shipping and oil and, like, kind of governments. It's, like, the largest port, or fourth largest port in America or something like that. You know, but, like, you know, nobody else cares about anything. It's not fun. But, hey, Selena is from there, and so is Eva Longoria. And you notice they don't live there anymore.
Sure that?
Yeah.
All right, how much time we got left on this thing?
What? Yeah, Selena's dead, yeah.
Whoa, man, we're going to get some hate mail.
She's not you can't dead, bring she's Selena alive in and our not have heart.
A, an hour-long memorial for her.
Yeah. Yeah, next time Jared's going to sing some Selena songs. Okay, so that's all for the Cooler Chronicles podcast. Don't forget to let us know, sorry, I sound sick again, that you want to play flag football. Jared is going to talk all the mess. Jared, what do you play when you play flag football?
I usually play like the center position, but I go out for passes.
Okay. I do like quarterback.
Like a check down back, I guess.
Yeah. You're a check down guy?
Yeah.
You got shimmy out there?
We'll see.
All right. Yeah, so we'll divide up the team some kind of way. We'll make it fun. It'll be awesome. We'll have a good old time, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't forget to let me know. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast in iTunes and leave a review, whether you love it, whether you hate it. Let us know whether you love it or you hate it. I appreciate all the feedback. It helps go into like kind of designing the show a little bit, making it good, better or worse or whatever the case may be, depending on your perspective. Thanks for listening. My name's Adam, Asic Skin on Twitter. Jared, who are you on Twitter?
I have my CC_Jared account, which is like all my UTSA sports talk. And then at Jared is like my tacos and baseball and basketball and whatever, my exploits.
Don't forget, he's a heathen and he likes the Boston Celtics. All right, now we're going to pave the way for some Schaefer.
When you ask a UTSA fan to give you like a little cheer or whatever, you know, they'll give you like they'll give the UTSA, UTSA, that shit. Or you'll get the meat, meat, motherfucker. But man, back in my day, when I used to go to the basketball games when I was a kid, it was a real basic, just like UTSA, UTSA. So that's kind of what I roll with. You may have noticed that local sports radio has gone from fart to shit. Mike Taylor moved up to Green Bay to do his Dallas sports show for San Antonio in Wisconsin. Huh? And then the guy that got to replace him, shit, he talked about Bill Parcells for a whole segment the other day. Bill Parcells? Wow, okay. I'm tired of all this Cowboys talk here in San Antonio. Let's get local sports talk to be local. We need something new. T minus 2 days until the Big East is supposed to meet on Friday in Dallas regarding their future membership. By then, they should know if San Diego State is going to be with them or with the Mountain West. Sounds like they're going to be with the Mountain West. So what that means is that the Big East will be with 11 teams and will probably be looking for additions. Unfortunately, it sounds like UTSA is going to be left out on that, and the Conference USA will be further weakened, thus having to pull more Sun Belt teams or New Mexico State. Essential to every program is fan support and fan interest. And, you know, with this UTSA basketball program, we just don't have it. I know that Jared wants you to follow Brooks Thompson as long as he's alive, but we need to do something different. We need to invigorate this program. We need to get some money into it. We need to have people interested in it. And that's why I think that we need to have some kind of association with either a former Spurs player or a former Spurs coach that people here in San Antonio know so that they'd be interested in it. Now, I don't know who the right guy is. I mean, there's lots of guys from the Spurs who've gone and become NBA coaches, but you know, like, just like, for example, like Avery Johnson, I think his kids live in Houston or something now, but say that they still live in San Antonio and he wanted to stay here in town. Can you imagine what he would do for a program like ours just because he's so popular here in San Antonio and people know who he is and what he could bring to the table? Or David Robinson, who, you know, is a San Antonian at heart, and he's here. I mean, I don't think he's a natural coach, but, you know, somewhere in between there and with these Spurs relationships, I really think that UTSA should tap into that whole fan interest part for the city just to get everybody on board. Something different needs to happen. Is it gimmicky? Yeah, it's gimmicky, but at this point, we need to have something to get people in the door. You know, I could say that, you know, when Larry Coker got hired, you know, I didn't think, like, oh, you know, it's this guy's going to be like the greatest coach ever or whatever. It was that he had a name. People knew who he was. He put a face to the program. It wasn't just about X's and O's. It was about, you know, someone who people said, hey, yeah, I know that guy. He was at Miami. Of course, everybody knows he was the one that ran the program into the ground. But still, it was like, yeah, he's got a ring. So it means something. So I don't know. I'd like to think out of the box with that and do try something different. Alienated by all the UT fans that surrounded me at the Alamo Bowl, I had to say I was really impressed by the all the orange that was out there, even some of that Oregon orange. And, you know, it reminded me a little bit of UTSA's first game. We haven't had that atmosphere since. But I'm really hopeful that next year when we play an orange team, Oklahoma State, that we'll have something out there like that with a full stadium and an exciting tailgating scene.
UTSA!